All right. We are going to talk on this Resurrection Sunday under the title House of God, the Gate of Heaven. House of God, Gate of Heaven. Well, I've got to confess something right at the beginning. I did, in fact, go to a Timberwolves game last night. The scalpers were very busy on the street. They were trying not to pay too much money to get people to take their tickets. It's a little different. The obstructed view tickets for the Timberwolves are the most expensive. In fact, the farther away, it's kind of a reverse sort of scalping, because the farther away you are, the more cherished the tickets are. The closer to watching the Timberwolves, well, the more money you get for taking somebody's tickets. But in any case, we have the roadies with us. We're looking at our church, and if there's any way to discourage somebody from coming, it's taking them to a Timberwolves game. I don't know what I had in mind. They did score 8 points in the first quarter. So we did see some really good action, but we had Brother Delaney with us, as well as his family. In fact, his son-in-law was honored for his graphic design qualities at the game and came up and joined us where we were watching the game. But I got to say about a dear brother who's of such indispensable help in the church, along with Brother Wagner here, that he did deliver an insult to me. Well, he saw Lopez from Stanford. He saw Mark Madsen play, and Xavier did play college basketball at Radford, that actually was heading to great things this year until they ran into North Carolina, and he had a 44-inch vertical leap, at least he says he did, and I believe him. A man of God wouldn't lie about something like that. But he looked at one of the players and playing, and he said, you know, that's what we used to call at Radford, WMD. Now, he wasn't referring to weapons of mass destruction. We're not getting into politics here. He said, we call that white man's disease. Well, that's true. Any case, WMD. Well, this kind of disease afflicts too many people that they can't get off the ground. They have, as we say, no vertical. It's very important as you go through life to have a vertical dimension to your life, not just a horizontal dimension. And your life gets transformed and revolutionized when you see that there is a vertical aspect to your life. And when Jesus comes down from heaven to earth and dies, goes down into Hades, as it were, and he's buried, and then he's resurrected and then ascended, that essentially allows us to see a picture that there's a vertical relationship, that God cared so much about us that he sent his son down from heaven to earth to save us. And he went back up to prepare a way for us to get where he is in heaven. So having a good vertical is a key to aspiring to anything significant for God. And we see in this particular episode of Bethel, really, three things. We see a place, and we see a picture, and we see a promise. When Jacob goes vertical. First of all, let's understand the place from Jacob's point of view. You recall the story. He's a twin. And his twin brother is not an identical twin. His brother is Harry, not H-A-R-R-Y, but H-A-I-R-Y. And he is smooth. His brother is a man of the fields. He's a man of the tents. His brother specializes in hunting and fishing and dodging game wardens. He is himself interested primarily in matters of business and finance and back office matters. He is the junior of the two brothers, but not through any fault of his own. He had a death grip on his brother's heel, trying to pull him back in the womb when he emerged. And ultimately, because he is a man of significant ambition and drive and energy, he supplants his brother. Jacob's name means supplanter. And in fact, gets him to, well, it's kind of a scalper's kind of idea, gets him to sell his birthright for a mess of pottage, and at the end deceives his father, Isaac, into giving him the blessing with the conspiratorial contribution of his dear mother, who is a very sweet and spiritual lady, but knew that God intended to bless Jacob rather than Esau, but nonetheless didn't want to leave it to God in case God forgot. And so therefore, she connived with Jacob in order to put some hair of an animal on his forearms and talk with kind of a funny, stilted voice and pretend he was Esau, get the holy hands of his father laid on him, and got both the blessing and the birthright. Well, Esau, a man of the fields, robust, strong, energetic, decides enough is enough already, and he decides as soon as the funeral of his father takes place, he's going to kill his brother. Rebecca understands this is going to happen, and Jacob understands this is going to happen, and he heads north. And down in the Beersheba area, where you don't want to go unless you have an Arab guide and are wearing something, a rag on your head or something up there, you don't want to go to Beersheba these days, but in Beersheba there he was, and he went north and to Jerusalem, 12 miles north of Jerusalem, a place called Luz. He's headed towards Syria. And there he is in a place near Bethel. What we see about this place is it's, for him, a fearful place because, for all he knows, his brother is tailing him. Can you imagine that someone's after you and they want to murder you? That's a fugitive status, as it were. When you're having to fly, you're in flight, and there's someone who is dead set on taking your life when you're still a young person. It's very, very frightening to be threatened. You go down to the domestic violence court downtown, the old federal courthouse, and they divide up these people accused of spousal abuse from the spouses, and you see some very frightened people living with angry men, or men living with angry women, a little less, at least in terms of the domestic violence. If you married Lila Ali, you'd probably have your work cut out for you if she started to bounce you around the room. But there's a danger, a terrible danger, terrible fright. Here's a man who is frightened. Secondly, forlorn. This is, as it were, a wilderness. And we know that because all the props of his life have been taken away. Came from a prosperous place, and now there's no prosperity. He's sleeping with a stone as his pillow. I lost part of my pillow last night, and I just couldn't sleep. I had to grab it back. You know, get used to your pillow. Now, his pillow is a rock. He's sleeping on the hard ground. He is forlorn. It's like everything that he relied on for comfort in life had been taken away. He's at a significant low experience of life. The third thing about Jacob is that he's won the birthright, he's won the blessing, but currently he's friendless. There's that tremendous loneliness. He doesn't have a friend in the world, as far as he knows, except maybe his mom, and she's 100 miles or more away, several days' journey. And here is absolutely a low period in Jacob's life. We have to understand when we're aspiring to do something for God that there will be low moments in life. In fact, that's God's way of doing business. That's a way of God. You can't find anyone in the Scripture who didn't have a great opportunity in front of them, who didn't go through a death-like experience. Joseph had that vision or dream of what God could do in his life, but between that and the realization as the most powerful man in Egypt, he was thrown into a cave, hated by his brothers, sold as a slave, falsely accused of rape, put in the penitentiary, in the dungeon, and had nothing but serious rebukes and reproofs of life, as it were, his entire life. And this is, of course, the pattern of Jesus Christ. He comes with the promise of salvation, but he has to go through the terrible experience of the cross in order to finally be resurrected and exalted in due time. And this is Jacob at his absolute lowest point. The good news is, when you're that low and you have no other props in life, maybe then you can get serious about God. Many people would say their terminal disease, their deathbed, some horrible, wrenching experience in life was the most blessed thing ever to happen to them. Because looking around and seeing nothing but the howling wilderness on a horizontal plane, they're directed heavenward to get some vertical. Now here's where we are. The place called Bethel, no good associations with it. He's on the lam. He's running from his brother. He's fearful. He's forlorn. Not any comforts of life. Nothing. And he is friendless. All of a sudden, as he goes to sleep, he has a dream. And that dream is a very picturesque dream. And first of all, he sees something he really was ignorant of before. He sees a connection. That is to say, he sees a connection between earth and heaven. They call one of these circular staircases in the ancient Middle East a ziggurat. We have, if you want to pay a lot of money, you can get an internal staircase in a law firm. Very, very expensive. But it circles around, you know, not just straight up like a fireplace, I mean like a fire escape, but a circular staircase. And the circular staircase has one point on earth and one point on heaven. See, because heaven is so far removed from earth, you look up there and you think that it's like two parallel spheres, one an infinity above you and one on this earth. And all of a sudden, for the first time in life, Jacob really understands that there is a connection between heaven and earth. It's like you're in St. Paul, Minnesota, and you didn't have the wisdom to be born there like me. And you try to find your way somewhere. And you finally conclude, there's no way to get there from here. Or as when I was asking for the Eastadion in Stockholm one day, I pulled up to a very pleasant-looking Swede, and I asked him in my somewhat imperfect Swedish where the Eastadion was. And he looked at me and said, oi, oi, oi. I knew I was in trouble at that point. OJ, 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 oi, 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 oi. Well, here, a key understanding of life is that there is a connection between earth and heaven. And that connection indicates that there is a way to get there from here. To him, he was in the dusty wilderness, afraid, forlorn, friendless, and suddenly he has an aha experience in his vision or dream. Heaven and earth do have a connection. You see, the very incarnation of Jesus shows the connection between heaven and earth, that God took on his earth suit necessary to survive in this climate. It's called the human body. And he was both man connected to earth and God connected to heaven. Jesus has both ends of the staircase. And Jesus is the staircase that leads us to heaven. So here we have, for the first time in his life, he's afraid, he's looking over his shoulder horizontally. Is his brother chasing him? He's going out deep in the wilderness, north of Jerusalem, got a stone on his pillow, forlorn, friendless, feeling sorry for himself. And suddenly, bing, there's a picture. And the picture is that of something, a circular staircase that connects heaven and earth. Now, when you are living your daily life, are you someone who understands that there is a connection between heaven and earth? And there is a way to get to heaven from here? Because if you haven't come to that realization, you are a pre-destiny Jacob rather than a post-destiny Jacob. So here we have a connection. The second thing about this picture is we have a concern. That is to say that not only is there this circular staircase, this ziggurat, very good Scrabble word. You get a lot of points for that Z, especially if you get a triple word score. Ziggurat between heaven and earth. But there are angels on the staircase. And interestingly enough, there are angels going up and there are angels going down. Now, it says first that angels are going up because God wants Jacob to know that before he was ever thinking of the matter, angels were already ministering to him and going back with reports to heaven. So they weren't just coming down right now. They were already active and headed back. And other angels were coming down. There are such a thing as angels. They're not figments of any man's imagination. It's not superstition. They are real angelic beings that connect what's going on earth with what's going on heaven. And this suggests to him that there is a concern that God has, that heaven has, about what's going on earth. That God is concerned with him. Now that gives a whole different perspective in life. If we look at the mass of people, they have no understanding, naturally, that they are. There's a connection between heaven and earth. And they don't understand that God has a concern for them, personally, individually. There's a great Swiss theologian, and they asked him, after writing many, many books, what was the most important theological concept he'd arrived at? What gave him the most satisfaction? And he said it was communicated to him in Sunday school. It was a song called "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So." He said that's the most profound thing amidst all of his Christology and ecclesiology and missiology and all the other learned subjects the Swiss theologian had written about. He said that was the most important thing he'd ever learned. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And here, Jacob has this experience of now seeing this staircase, but it's populated. I won't draw any angels. I do that pretty well in snow, but unfortunately, I spend most of the winter in California, so I just... These are two wings, okay. I told you I wasn't going to do it, so make me a liar. All right. Here we have a concern. And now we are getting vertical. Because all of a sudden, from the horizontal plane, the sweat pouring down, flying flat on a stone, very much earthbound, he sees a staircase, there's a connection. There is a concern. Otherwise, why would these angels be going up and down from my place to God's place back again? And there is a third, a communication. See, to really be a person of destiny, you have to understand not only that there is a connection between heaven and earth, and that there is a concern earthward from heaven. God is very concerned about you personally, concerned about your life, but that God cares enough to communicate with you. It's not to leave you baffled and confused. I wonder what that connection is. I wonder how that concern can maybe play in my favor or benefit me. God communicates from heaven to earth. And you see, this staircase with the angels rising and the communication of God to Jacob in his commitment to him in this dream is really a picture of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is all three. He is the connection between heaven and earth. It's like you're having part of you in heaven, fully God. Very God, your feet touching earth, very man. A concern, that's why he came. He came to save you and me. So there's a divine concern with you personally. Jesus loves me. And he is the ultimate communication of God because he is the Word of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So he is God's communication to you. personally of salvation. That's why Jesus actually quotes this verse in the Gospels of angels ascending and descending to show that he is that circular staircase, as it were, to heaven in a picture. So we start off with a place. Man living totally horizontally. He's fearful. He's forlorn. Nothing to prop him up. No wealth, no comforts, no Motel 6, nothing. I kept the roadies in a Motel 6, and there were always two or three cop cars in the parking lot. Yeah, it's probably not a good idea to stay in motels where there are always three cop cars in the parking lot, but it was like angelic protection they had. Just God cared for them. Any case, a picture. Now, all of a sudden, vertical dimension. And the vertical gets uplifted. And now we have a promise, because the Lord gives him a whole variety of promises. The promise reflects a commitment downward. You see, all of salvation starts with God and not with us. We didn't devise salvation's plan. We don't construct a ladder and rung by rung climb it up to heaven. Salvation starts with God. I was listening on my iPod coming back from Scottsdale, Phoenix, as Salvation is Created. A beautiful song sung by the choir and my little iPod coming back on Good Friday. Salvation is created. Salvation is God's plan. And basically, God says, before Jacob could open his mouth, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to meet every one of your needs. Most importantly, the need to fulfill my plan for your life. You're going to have that same destiny that I promised Abraham and Isaac. I'm going to create a great nation out of you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to protect you. Not to worry. I'm going to be your God. And here, every one of those promises, if we took them one by one in the next 2 minutes, we'd see that every one of these horizontal problems, his fearfulness, not to worry, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to any harm touch you. Forlorn? No, I'm going to just wrap you around with all kinds of spiritual comforts and a supernatural destiny. And as far as your friendlessness, I'm going to be your best buddy. I'm going to be your best friend. I'm going to be with you. No matter what happens in life, I am going to be, as it were, your best friend, capital B, capital F. Here is a great commitment. Secondly, the commitment upward or downward inspires a consecration upward. So, Jacob says, "Oh, okay. Well, if this really works, let's. Does he sound Jewish? Let's cut a deal here, okay? We're going to have a covenant relationship. We're going to agree on something, and you're going to be my Lord. You're going to be my God. I'll give you my life. I'll consecrate myself to your purpose, and I'll even give you 10% of my money." And, you know, as Charles Spurgeon said, when a person was saved, a wealthy person was saved, they were very impressed, a banker was saved or somebody. He said, was his wallet saved? Well, Jacob's wallet was saved. I was just telling someone the other day, I had another Jewish client. Jerry Falwell ever said, when you get in trouble, get yourself a good, sharp Jewish lawyer. I tell my Jewish clients, if you really get in trouble, get yourself a good, sharp, fundamental Christian lawyer. At least I try to get business, you know, you kind of got to survive. He said, well, Roger, you know, you're religious, you'll appreciate this. He said, my son went to yeshiva, and he said, Papa, I've decided to become a rabbi. I told him, son, you've got all this business. We've got a business prepared for you. Great business. Be religious. Be orthodox. Eat kosher. Do it. But you don't have to be a rabbi. We've had three generations of four sons working with a father. You come into the business. I said, Papa, I really feel I should be a rabbi. Oh, come into the business, please. Think about it.
He said, well, Papa, if I came into the business, I feel I'd have to give away all my money. He said, Nader said, stay a rabbi.
Well, anyway, there we are. Consecration. And so salvation works in this particular way. You see, this is really the message of Jesus coming to earth. Totally horizontal, plain. All of a sudden, people discover the vertical. That's that great twisting ziggurat. Touching heaven and touching earth indicates there's a connection between heaven and earth. Is there a connection between heaven and earth for you? Do you understand that? Do you understand there's a way to get there from here? Do you understand that there's a concern? Angels going up, angels going down suggest God was concerned about Jacob personally. God is concerned about you. Jesus loves you. And there's a communication. That is to say, that connection and that concern results in a communication from God. It's contained in a book called the Bible that tells you how you can go through the gate to heaven and have eternal life. This is where a significant life starts if you want to find and fulfill a special transcendent destiny for your life. Well, then you see that God has made a certain commitment to you in the Bible. There's a promise of eternal life. And God doesn't lie. God doesn't take it back. He has made an oath, as it were, to you. And you, in response, consecrate yourself wholeheartedly to the Lord. That's what the symbol of baptism is. Baptism is taking someone, immersing them, bringing them up as a sign of total consecration to the Lord. As a single testimony of what God has done in your heart. That henceforth you will not be ashamed to confess the cross of Christ crucified and to fight manfully under his banner against the world, the flesh, and the devil as long as your life lasts. That's consecration. And the result is a total conversion. Now, that doesn't say that God doesn't have work to do in Jacob's life. He's got some rough edges. There's some character training he needs. He doesn't immediately become perfect. But something really changes. If you read the Hebrew in the next verse, it's not always altogether clear in the English. It really says he goes with a light step the rest of his journey. All of a sudden, he was hurrying, the fugitive, frightened, fearful, forlorn, and now he's got a light heart. A burden has been lifted from him, and he goes with a whole new sense of purpose to find his wife, unfortunately wives, which will be a story in and of itself, in Syria. All right, here's Resurrection Sunday. Do you know that this place here can be your Bethel? Jacob didn't think he was in church when he was out in the howling wilderness and had his head on his pillow. And he didn't know that church was going to happen. And he was going to be given a great opportunity. He didn't know that. He was too concerned about what his life was like right now and all the things he was worried about, and all his anxieties and all his fears. He didn't have to understand that. And suddenly, he gets the vertical dimension. He says, aha, this place of fear, forlorn, friendlessness, is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And he goes through that gate of heaven by consecrating himself to the Lord. Jesus becomes the Lord of his life in an Old Testament sense. Because he discovers the promise of God, he consecrates himself to it, and then finds that this vertical makes his life significant. For the Apostle Paul, finding the vertical was on the Damascus Road. Where is it for you? It'd be kind of a fun thing, wouldn't it? Because come to church on Easter Sunday morning, and you're surprised to find this place is the gate of heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for this story of this great patriarch. Lord, help us to understand the beauty of understanding that there is this connection between heaven and earth, represented in Jesus Christ, came down from heaven, died on the cross, was resurrected because the earth could not contain him, went back up to heaven, is coming again to judge the earth.
Lord, I pray that if anybody here doesn't know that Lord Jesus Christ, has never consecrated themselves to him by faith, trusting in him for eternal life, they'll do that even today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.